Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Wednesday, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Governor Abigail Spanberger is considering legislation that would allow for retail sale of marijuana to start January 1st. Michael Pope has this story.
New Year's Day 2027 is just a few months away, and yet that's the date marijuana sales could start at 350 retail locations across Virginia. Some people are asking the governor to amend the bill and push back the start date to prevent large out-of-state corporations from monopolizing the market. Here's Chelsea Higgs-Wise at Marijuana Justice.
If we want this to be a Virginia market, by people that are living in Virginia, that own Virginia businesses, then we need to allow more time Virginia businesses to stand up.
She says that's especially true for people who live in areas that were disproportionately policed during the war on drugs or part of the Commonwealth that are economically disadvantaged. But others say delaying the start date would not help consumers.
There is no cannabis industry without cannabis consumers, and we have to put their needs first.
That's J.M. Padini at the marijuana advocacy group Virginia Normal.
It's really important that we move quickly to transition consumers away from the illicit marketplace into the regulated space that will best provide for public and consumer safety.
The governor has until April 13th to make a decision. I'm Michael Pope.
Planned Parenthood has shelved plans for a clinic in Richmond's North Side. In 2024, the city made a controversial decision to sell a former school building to the organization for just $10, despite its assessed value of $1.3 million. Planned Parenthood tells the Richmonder the project was shelved for financial reasons. The sale was never completed, and the building is now available again. People across Central Virginia are mobilizing to oppose a planned high-voltage power line.
We need to show and push back and tell them, you can't just waltz into town and decide to take everything.
Yeah, we didn't move to Flavanna County and buy property here to have it be torn up and ruined.
Sandy Houseman talks with worried neighbors and the company that says the line is needed. We'll have her story up in a little bit. In 2023, Liberty University fired a transgender employee, saying their lifestyle went against the private evangelical Christian school's theological teachings. That employee sued, and the lawsuit was okayed, but a federal appeals court in Richmond heard the Lynchburg school's argument against that result Tuesday. Brad Kuttner has the latest.
When is it okay for a church or faith-based organization to fire an employee if their actions go against the employer's deeply held religious beliefs? That was the question before a federal appeals panel Tuesday, with Liberty University on the defensive. Here's Matthew Staver with Liberty Counsel.
Courts have to be careful not to second-guess or debate doctrinal statements just like sincerely held religious beliefs.
At issue is the employment of Eleanor Zinsky, an information technology employee who announced her transition and was then terminated. Here's Staver again.
What we have are two individuals, one of who admits is not a co-religionist to Liberty's faith, wants to change Liberty's faith.
But for ACLU attorney Matt Callahan, the question was about something called the ministerial exception.
There's a protected class of people who are the messengers of the faith who do the religious duties here.
That's the ministerial exception, and according to Callahan, it should not apply to other employees that are not ministers.
For their groundskeepers, for their janitors, for their IT apprentices, they are still subject to federal law.
Liberty and its supporters argued in legal filings the ministerial exception ends where the church says it does, and the courts don't have the authority to question that decision. Circuit Judge James Wynn asked if there were limits on that religious doctrine principle.
Could it be in a white supremacist mode and it says only white people can come?
To which Liberty Counsel's Staver replied,
unlike sex, you have a specific constitutional amendment that comes into play with regards to race.
Those constitutional protections for sex-based discrimination were weakened when the nation's highest court ruled against abortion protections in Dobbs. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Republican Andrew Rice has won a special election to the House of Delegates in Virginia Beach. He defeated Democrat Cheryl Smith Tuesday, earning more than 62% of the vote. Rice will fill the remainder of the two-year term of Delegate Barry Knight, who died last month. Rice is a local prosecutor. He won the Republican nomination last month in a firehouse primary. In a statement, House GOP leader Terry Kilgore said he was, quote, thrilled to welcome Rice to our caucus as the newest delegate from the 98th District. The road back starts here. State officials have approved three hospital projects for Chesterfield County. VCU Health plans a 60-bed hospital near the Chesterfield County Government Complex. Bon Secours wants to add 40 additional beds to its existing St. Francis Medical Center. And HCA expects to build a 60-bed hospital near Moseley. The state's health commissioner approved the projects Friday, according to Richmond BizSense. The hospital systems say the services are needed because of Chesterfield County's growing population. Governor Abigail Spanberger is considering a bill that would legalize slot machine-style games at convenience stores and truck stops. Michael Pope has this story.
They're called skill games because advocates say people can develop skills to win. In other words, they're not gambling, which relies on luck. Now, members of the General Assembly are putting a bill on the governor's desk to legalize some of the machines that are already in operation illegally, regulating them and taxing them. Here's Delegate Cliff Hayes, a Democrat from Chesapeake.
The purpose for this is to clean up the market. 90,000 illegal machines are in the Commonwealth today. 90,000.
25,000 machines would be allowed under the bill now under consideration by the governor. Counties, cities, and towns would be able to opt out if they don't want them, and the anticipated revenue would be more than $300 million a year. Delegate Tommy Wright is a Republican from Lunenburg County who took to the House floor to oppose the bill.
You're going to cause more problems among families and communities, and young people going without food to eat, and people not being able to support their families, than you'll ever gain. It's not right. The state has no business being involved in legalizing marijuana or gambling.
The governor has about 4 weeks to sign, veto, or propose any changes. I'm Michael Pope.
Monday's storms spawned a tornado in Martinsville. A National Weather Service team confirmed a twister touchdown near the intersection of Commonwealth Boulevard and Ferry Street around 10:40 a.m. It was on the ground for about a half mile. The tornado was rated as an EF0, which is at the weakest end of the scale. Its estimated 80-per-mile-an-hour winds snapped several trees in that area. Honeybees across the world are under several threats. The most dangerous is the varroa mite, which has been in the United States since the 1980s, but a new mite called Tropolalax is spreading through Europe, says Virginia Tech bee expert James Wilson.
And now we can see that that mite can jump onto the European honeybee and wreak havoc from there.
Most of the honeybees that pollinate crops in the U.S. are native to Europe, not Virginia, so this mite could put our bees at risk.
If I were to rank it, I would rank it pretty high as a threat if or when it gets here.
The mites, which are native to Asia, did manage to get on board a container ship last fall. They were discovered en route from India to New Jersey, and they didn't make it to shore. Wilson says he's cautiously optimistic that there are treatment methods beekeepers can take if the mites do eventually spread to Virginia. He says more work is needed to make sure beekeepers have access to the most effective methods and research. This note of disclosure, Radio IQ is a service of Virginia Tech. Dominion Energy and Appalachian Power recently announced plans to install a high-voltage power line from a site near Lynchburg to Culpeper County. The 115-mile project would require landowners to sell a 200-foot right-of-way across their properties and involve placement of metal towers as tall as a 12-story building. The companies have been holding community information meetings, drawing large crowds of mostly unhappy people. Sandy Houseman stopped by one in Fluvanna County.
More than 300 people showed up at the small community center in Fluvanna to learn about the Valley Link project after they got letters about the proposed power line. They packed into a large room where company experts manned a series of tables set up to address various concerns. Outside, residents waited in line for admission and shared their concerns with Radio IQ.
We need to show and push back and tell them, you can't just waltz into town and decide to take everything eminent domain. This is our county.
Yeah, we didn't move to Fluvanna County and buy property here to have it be torn up and ruined.
I'm a mom, and I'm really worried about my kids growing up in this county. Projects like this are associated with higher risks of childhood cancer.
It brings down property values.
If you don't sell them your property, they can take it from you. That's not right.
There are better ways to run it, shorter lines and more direct, but it might cost them a little bit more money. And I think the billion-dollar companies came down to Fluvanna County because they thought they could get it cheaper and not have to worry about so much opposition.
Ditto.
Many were upset by some logistical problems with the meeting itself.
Our letter said 5:30 today, and we received the letter today.
They said 5:30 to 7:30 on the letters that they sent out and 3:30 to 7:30 on the website, so you didn't know when to come.
We thought this was going to be an actual sit-down meeting, but apparently it's not, so that's disappointing.
We're curious how close they actually come to our house. I would like to see a more blown-up view of that map they sent us.
That problem aside, Dominion spokesman Craig Carper was ready to respond to local reporters about issues raised by the public.
We want to share whatever they want to know about, but also we really want feedback.
He said the original plan was to install the high-voltage line for more than 150 miles, running through 16 counties, but had scaled back to 115 miles and just 9 counties, Appomattox, Buckingham, Campbell, Culpeper, Fluvanna, Goochland, Louisa, Orange, and Spotsylvania. 3 possible routes were chosen. The goal, he said, is to avoid densely populated areas, schools, pristine natural or historic places, while limiting river and stream crossings.
We're trying our best to juggle all of those things and thread the needle to ultimately have a project that meets the demand but minimizes impact wherever possible.
He conceded demand for electricity was fairly flat until data centers came along, but pointed to new industrial development in the state.
We've seen Lego, Lilly, other biotech coming to Virginia.
And he cited climate change in claiming demand for power has increased.
We are having colder winters and we're having hotter summers.
And he insisted electromagnetic energy coming from power lines does not pose a threat to human health.
There's decades of data on this, and we haven't seen any causality, us or any of our peers.
The World Health Organization classifies extremely low-frequency electromagnetic fields as possibly carcinogenic to humans based on limited evidence showing an association with childhood leukemia. The International Agency for Research on Cancer found inadequate evidence in relation to all other cancers. The utilities have looked at building along major highways, but Carper says that was a no-go.
That has come up, and it's been looked at thoroughly, and there were a lot of restrictions that prevented us from doing that.
But could this line be buried?
It hasn't been done. The technology does not exist.
The companies expect to file the Valley Link request with the State Corporation Commission in September and hope to have sign-off 1 year later, followed by 2 years of construction. I'm Sandy Houseman.
In our forecast, warmer conditions lie ahead. Pretty cloudy today, a little breezy. Highs in the low to upper 40s. Fairly cloudy this evening. Lows drop to the upper 20s and low 30s. Some cloud coverage Thursday, save for Richmond, with more sunshine there. Warmer. Highs in the low to upper 50s, around 61 for Danville. Mix of sun and clouds Friday. Warmer still. Highs in the low to upper 60s. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. And a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.